Our scripture passage this morning is Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. If you would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, and the ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled to earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a voice, a loud voice in heaven, say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of the Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accused them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives as much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." When the dragon saw that he had been hurled down to earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of the great eagle so that she might fly to a place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and a half a time out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and slip her away with torment. But the earth opened the woman by opening its mouth. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to rage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast to their testimony about Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So I did a bit of research about dragons this week. It's not something that I normally would study for preparing to do a message. It's not something I normally study, but it was interesting what I found in just a little small amount of time studying this and Googling it on the computer. And I found out that a lot of ancient cultures, ancient Near East cultures at least, and even into Asia and kind of all around the world, have these myths about dragons or dragon-like creatures, these wild beasts that wreak havoc on the earth. They kind of are a symbolism for all that is evil and wrong in the world. And even though all cultures seem to have some mythology around dragons, nobody's really been able to figure out where these myths come from. They're there, they're written down, people have studied about it, but they don't really know how they came to be. Scripture is set within a culture, the Near East culture and Israel, and into kind of Asia Minor when you get to the New Testament. And all these cultures that it was written in and for had these images of these wild beasts who wreak havoc on the earth. And Scripture picks up on this language throughout it. In the Old Testament, there's a few passages that talk about serpents or dragon-like creatures. In Psalm 91, it says this: "You will tread on the lion and the otter. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot." That serpent can sometimes be translated as dragon. In Isaiah chapter 27, it says this: "In the day of the Lord, with his hard and great and strong sword, will punish the Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and he will slay the dragon that is in the sea." So Isaiah is already kind of setting up this vision of a day when this dragon, the serpent, all that is evil will be triumphed and put under Christ's power. Jeremiah 51, another Old Testament prophet, says this: "Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has devoured me. He has crushed me. He has made me like an empty vessel. He has swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his belly with my delicacies. He has rinsed me out." That word "monster" there, again, could be translated dragon. And now Jeremiah is using this illustration, this image of the dragon, as a metaphor of what Babylon is doing by coming in and exiling God's people from the promised land, that just like a dragon comes to conquer and devour all things, Babylon is coming in and conquering God's people and sending them into exile. Ezekiel 29, "Speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lies in the midst of his streams, that says, my Nile is my own, I have made it for myself." Here again, you get that same thing that Jeremiah is doing, that in this passage, Ezekiel is saying, Egypt now is like a dragon, a serpent, someone who is coming in and laying waste to our people. You probably know one of the greatest serpents in Scripture is at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve are in the garden and the serpent comes to lead them astray. The people who are hearing this vision that John is giving to them would have clearly understood what the dragon meant. That it was the evil that's in our world, the sinfulness that's in our world. It's even an image, a representation of Satan and all that is wrong. They would have known that this woman who was spoke of is in trouble. This image of dragon that's in our culture seems to always be coming back. If there's any Tolkien fans out there, you know that The Hobbit has this dragon in it, Smaug. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong because I don't speak. Is it dwarfs? Dwarfs, yes. That are in it. But Smaug, this dragon, lives on the Lonely Mountain, and he's taken over the dwarfs' home there, and they had this place, but they were exiled from it because of this evil dragon, Smaug, and it's the overarching evil in the book Hobbit. And Bilbo Baggins and his group of compatriots have a battle with this dragon. It takes place at this lake town that all the dwarfs are kind of exiled to for a time. And Bilbo is actually the one to awaken this evil again and kind of set it out on the people. But the people were afraid to do anything, because why take on this evil? They know that they're powerless in the sight of this evil dragon, and they're trapped under the oppression of this evil that sets in their home. Our scripture passage this morning opens up by giving us this image of a woman going into labor. And it actually says a few things about the woman I want to highlight. It says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. This woman is clothed with the sun, with light, with goodness. In Revelations, as we've been studying it, you know that there's that tension in between light and dark, in between good and evil, in between Christ and Satan. And in this story, again, is setting us up for that battle scene in between light and dark, in between the powers of good and the powers of evil. This woman is clothed with the sun. God oftentimes is spoken about being clothed in light or in righteousness, and we're getting a picture that this woman represents God in some way, or at least God's people in some way. And it says that the moon is under her feet, shown that this woman who's about to give birth has power and some dominion over things. She has a crown of 12 stars over her head, again showing her majesty. She's pregnant. She's crying out in pains as she is about to give birth. It's coming quickly. This is the time when things are going to happen. And as John sets up that picture for us of a woman clothed in the sun, given dominion over things, is majesty, there's this other sign that appears in heaven. An enormous red dragon. Red symbolizing blood, meaning that this is a dragon who is out to kill, to conquer, to be over. Seven heads, 10 horns. If you know Daniel at all, it's kind of reminiscent of some of the imagery that Daniel has in his prophecies, and shows again kind of this power that this dragon has over things. 10 horns, kind of a complete strength over things, and 7 crowns on its head. It's interesting that this dragon has crowns, kind of presumptive crowns, saying that I am the king, when the dragon knows that he is not the king. We have this more magnificent crown of 12, with 12 jewels on it, that we see in this woman who's about to give birth. But we find out that this red dragon, this enormous red dragon, its tail sweeps a third of the stars and flings them to the earth, again showing how much power this dragon has been given, how much dominion it has over earthly things. And this dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour this child as soon as he is born. You might be remembering some of Scripture's stories up to this point, and this woman, many scholars believe, is a representation of God's people waiting for that Messiah to be born to them. This king who is going to rule the whole earth with an iron scepter. We also know that Christ's birth was controversial in his day, that the powers that be didn't want him being born, so as soon as the leader found out, as soon as he talked with the wise men about this sign that was being seen in the land, he sent out that command to go and kill all the male children. John is retelling us a story about how God is at work in our world. That there's this power of evil, power of sin, the power of Satan, who wants to snuff out all that is good, God's plan for our redemption in Christ Jesus. John kind of skips over Jesus' life and ministry in his retelling of this one who was born, and kind of jumps straight ahead to the time when Christ rises up and goes into heaven, the ascension. That's where it goes, after he gives birth. This dragon isn't given time to devour, but God snatches the child up and brings him into his presence. And then we hear about this battle that happens in heaven. This child who was born, this one who ascended into heaven, is going to change all things. And he sets this battle into motion where Michael and the archangels are going up against Satan and all of his angels. And because of Christ and what he's done on the cross for us, Satan does not triumph over good, over Christ. And he's thrown down onto the earth, John says in this vision. But then the story pauses. When Satan's thrown down to the earth, heaven has to rejoice. It's within them to need to say something about this glorious victory that has just been won in heaven. And you hear this loud voice from heaven saying, "Now has come the time of our salvation and the power and the kingdom of God, the authority of the Messiah." They have been triumphal in this battle against evil, against the dragon. The dragon has been hurled down. The accuser, the one who says, "Your sins are too great," the one who says, "You're not good enough to receive God's goodness to you," the liar, that serpent who tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, he's been triumphed over. He's been cast down onto earth. So rejoice, you heavens. Rejoice, you who dwell in them. But this rejoicing ends with a note for us who still live on earth during these end times. "But woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short." After this rejoicing in heaven over God's triumphal victory in Christ Jesus, Satan and the powers of evil being cast down to earth out of heaven to no longer be there, John's vision goes down to earth. And he sees that because the serpent is now cast down, that he knows his time is short because the war has been won, but there's still some skirmishes that are happening, some grabs for power as he still can. That the one who birthed the Messiah, that faithful people of God who was hopeful for the Messiah, who saw the Messiah come to be, now takes a bit of a transition. At the first, the woman is seen as the messianic community waiting for God's anointed one to come and save them. And now that that has happened and been fulfilled, the woman changes to be the church, God's people after the Messiah has come and delivered them, God's people in this last days period. And this is who the dragon now focuses on persecuting. He knows the battle's already been lost in heaven, but he's got some time to inflict some pain still here on earth. That's what he does. He goes after the woman, but we see that God is still faithful to his people and still taking care of them, that He gives them wings like eagles, and throughout the Old Testament, again, there's this imagery of God protecting his people with the image of an eagle protecting, to be able to get away from these situations, to guard his people closely through this time, and that's what he's doing again during these last days as Satan is trying to grab on and hold any power that he can, that God is right there with his people. He carries them away on wings like eagles. He opens up the earth, so when the dragon tries to overcome them with water, they can't, or he can't. Throughout this somewhat odd vision that John has, we see that God's hand is at work throughout the whole thing. That he's there to protect the Messiah when he's born. That his plan isn't going to be thwarted by any evil, any dragon of this world. That he's triumphant in this heavenly battle that's been won for us in Christ Jesus. And he's protecting his people, the church, through this time of persecution until Christ comes again. Later on in Revelation, the dragon reappears. He's bound up and he's thrown into the lake of fire forever. The war, has been won in heaven. And when Christ comes again, the powers of evil in this world, the power of sin, Satan himself will be bound up and thrown into the lake of fire to never be seen again. Remember, Revelations is a letter that John gave to these seven churches who were experiencing great persecution. For them to receive this vision from John that God is going to conquer all the powers of evil in this world, that Satan isn't going to win, but Christ has already won, would have been a great comfort for them. They would have took comfort in knowing that even though the dragon pursues them, that God will protect them, that he'll provide for them through this difficult period in their life. The same is true for us today. This story, this vision that John has kind of sums up all of God's work in the world in this otherworldly vision. The power of Christ is going to be triumphant over the power of evil. And it gives us hope as the church. That as we look around our world today, that when we see all these things that just aren't right with our world, all the conflict that we see in Ukraine and other places, the political divide that we have in our nation right now, everything that tries to tear society apart, deaths that shouldn't be, we know that won't have the last word. That yes, Satan's working behind the scenes right now to try to win as much as he can. He knows his time is short, as Scripture says. So we shouldn't be surprised by the evil that we see in the world. But as Christians, we have hope. Hope that the battle is already won and with Christ Jesus, and hope that one day Christ will come again to set everything right, to be the judge over all, and to cast evil, sin, and Satan into the fiery pit for all eternity. Smaug was fighting for evil. He's the embodiment of greed in the story of the Hobbit, and there's this battle that he wages against this lakefront community. And at one point, Bilbo sees that he has one weak spot, kind of right here on his body. And Bilbo is able to relay that message to the warriors. And it takes a bit of back and forth. You're not quite sure in the story if they're going to be successful in defeating Smaug. But one of the archers is able to fire the shot that pierces him in his weak point and brings the evil to an end. They're able to reclaim their homeland once again, to start up the furnaces and the forgeries, and life was able to be good for this community once again. In Christ Jesus, God has ended evil. He's taken that shot and now is working to restore all things as he intended them to be. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the hope that you give us in Revelations. That even as we see before us the war in between good and evil, the powers of Satan that try to tear us apart and divide us, we know that in Christ Jesus that you have already won the war, that you have injured Satan, that you have cast him down on earth. And God, we hope in the firm assurance of Christ Jesus that you will come again as the conquering one, that you will once and for all deal with sin, with evil, and with Satan. God, we're thankful that in Christ Jesus that you bring the redemption of your people, and that through this time that you are keeping us safe as your people until we meet you in the new heavens and new earth. It's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.